Welcome to the Mana Church Stafford Podcast, where we're all about equipping God's people to change their world. We are thankful you are here and pray this message encourages you to love God, love others, and love the world more fervently than before. Now, let's get to it.
All right, how we doing, Mana Church? Man, I am excited to be here. I don't know about you guys, but today, I always wake up Sunday mornings and I'm ready to go, but I woke up this particular Sunday with just a special anticipation for what God was going to do today, for all the people I was going to get to meet. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name's Jake. I'm the pastor here, and we're glad that you chose to worship with us. If you're watching online, we want to welcome you as well. You've joined us for the first week in our series that we've titled A Life That God Rewards. And I've been waiting on this series for the whole year because at the beginning of the year, I prayed that God would give me a word for us, for the church. And I knew that this series was going to be one that we preach because it focuses on that word and more on that in the coming weeks. But in order for us to get where we're going during this series, I'm going to have to lay a really solid foundation. So we're going to cover a lot of ground today. We got a lot of scriptures. They're all going to be on the screen, so you're going to be able to see them. But if you're taking notes, you're going to be busy. And I want to say thanks to our production team too, because every week, week in and week out, they get my notes a few days early, if they're lucky, and they're able to put together these slides and make the visuals so that way you guys can understand what it is we're sharing. So can we just thank them for what they do? Thank you, guys. And I'm going to tell you, during this series, what I think is going to happen is that it's actually going to bring more questions to the surface that you guys might have about some of the things we're going to touch on, because there are going to be some topics we just barely touch on, and you're going to be like, tell me more. We don't have time to do that for this whole series. We got a specific thing that we want to communicate. And so today we're going to talk about the timeline of your life. And when we think about the timeline of our life in terms of growing up or getting older, that's normally how we think about it. I see each one of my kids going through these phases. You know, you've got the, now they can walk. Now they're out of diapers. Now they hopefully are sleeping in their own bed. Then they go to school. They are in junior high, and then they're in high school, and there's this progression, and eventually, God willing, they get a career and move out. Maybe. We hope. I know my oldest is like, one of these days, he's getting so close. Speaking of growing up, though, there was a little boy. His name was Johnny, as all little boys and jokes are. And he went to his parents, and he said, Mom, Dad, he was like five. He said, I'm a grown-up now. Think I'm ready to live on my own. I'm ready to do it. And his parents were just so proud of their son for asserting himself. And they said, you know what? That's great. You know what? We don't have any reason to stop you. My parents actually did this to me when I was little. And so Johnny replied, great. Your luggage is at the door. When I did it, I actually did do that. And my parents packed a bag for me and let me leave the house. I think it was four. And I walked, I think, around the block. And then I quickly came home because I realized there were no snacks on the other side of the block. But as we start this, I want to talk about the timeline of our life, and I want us to start with the question, which is, what is important in life? Or maybe, what is the most important thing in life? And if we took some time to answer this question and we looked at the different phases of your life, you would have different answers based on the different phases. For instance, if I asked Ezekiel, my youngest, what is the most important thing in life, he would say snacks, like pickled chips and fruit snacks. Those are the most important things in life. That's a really big deal. If I asked my junior high kids, what's the most important thing in life, they would say either my sneakers or my cell phone. Those are the most important things in life. As you get a little bit older, maybe it comes, you know, outfits are important. Maybe the particular group that you hang out with is really important. Then who are you going to marry? Your kids, your career, all of those things. But as you get older and as you mature, you start to ask questions like, what can I accomplish with my life? You move a little bit further and you think, what am I going to become? Or maybe when you get in the twilight years of your life, you want to think, what impact have I made? What's the impact, the impression that I left? And All in all, we look at our timeline of our life as just the moments that we live here on earth. And we think of the apex of that, the zenith of it, as maybe your greatest work contribution, or maybe a massive anniversary, like you hit your 50th anniversary. That's it. And we tend to prioritize what builds to those moments. And we want to ask the questions like, how do we maximize this life, our safety, our security? How do we achieve the most? And in fact, I think most of us, I know I do this, we tend to live just a little bit in the future. Sometimes it's hard to live in the right now because we want to think about where we're going in the future. And when God speaks about this life, he also tends to look at what comes next. He's looking to your future as well. He's trying to prepare you for it. And Jesus talked about it a lot, that next phase. And you know what's coming in the next phase? The reward. That's what's coming. God is looking to reward you. He's looking to reward me. God is looking for that. He is anticipating it. He wants to reward you. He's planning on it. Matthew 16, 27 says this. It says, the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they've done. That's his plan. It's a guarantee. We're going to take him at his word, just like we sang. He said he's going to reward us, and so we believe him. Every person can expect repayment, but what is that based on? What is that reward repayment based on? And this is the statement that we're going to kind of hinge things on during this series. You go to heaven, you get to heaven, based on what Jesus did on the cross. Your reward in heaven is based on what you do in this life with what he gave you. So over the next several weeks, we're going to answer lots of questions about our rewards. Like, what are our rewards? What does God reward us for? And what's the connection between resources and rewards? And what are we going to want when we get to heaven? All those questions we're going to dig into more. So I hope you're excited about that. But today, what I want to talk about is what is important in your life. And I want to do that by looking at the six stages of your life. And this is articulated by a guy named Bruce Wilkinson. We took some of the content from this series, a lot of it from a book he wrote called A Life God Rewards. And he paints this picture, and we've put together a little visual to help you. Six stages of your life. If I could insert one word, I would say six stages of your eternal life. Because your life is longer than just the period you live here, but we're going to get to that. So the first stage of your life is just your life. You're created in the image of God for a purpose. All of us were made on purpose for a purpose. Amen? You think of the beginning, God made us in his image. Male and female, he created them, but he put eternity in our hearts. It says that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, he has placed eternity in the human heart. He's placed this anticipation for something beyond this life in our heart. And I hope if one thing you get to get today, I hope that just gets ignited a little bit, that I'm able to just touch on it some and get you to think more about eternity in comparison to how much you think about this life. But he created us to live towards him with the whole of who we are, not just our body, not just our thoughts, because we're three-part beings. We've got our body, which is just a physical part. It's what you see. We've got our soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotions, and then we've got our spirit. So we're three parts, similar to how God is, and it says it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul says this. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That's making us more like him. May sanctify all of you more completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we die, what's going to happen is our body's going to go away. So at the end of the physical use of my body, it's going to perish. It's going to turn back into dust. But that's not the end of life, because your life is eternal. That's just the second step, or that's just the first step. The second step is death. You die physically, but not spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says this. He says, yes, we're of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and home with the Lord. So the body dies, we leave it here, and we go home to be with the Lord. He draws this distinction. In fact, he says the same thing in his letter to the Philippians. Again, there's lots of scriptures here because I'm trying to help you get this idea that this is in the word. Philippians 1, 21 through 24, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. I'm living, just Jesus living in me here on earth. And to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, this means fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I can't tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. Like, both of them are really good options. My desire, though, is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul knows that there's going to be this transition. While he's here, he lives one way. When he's gone, it's a totally different context. After your life and after your death, things aren't over. Then comes your destination. You reach your destination after death, which is determined by what you believed while you were on earth. So there's only two choices, heaven or hell. And this doesn't mean you could read this and take it out of context and say, where you end up is where you believe you're going to end up. Like, I believe I'm going to be on a cloud with a harp and all these fat little cherubs around me. Like, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that there's only two options, heaven or hell. And hell is the default location. It's where you're headed. Everybody, when you're born, that's where you're headed. People are not inherently innocent. That's quite the contrary. The vector of your life is towards the destination of hell. It doesn't matter how religious you are. In fact, Jesus asked this question of the religious leaders of his age. This is what he said in Matthew 23:33. He asked the Pharisees, he said, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? The religious people, he asked them that question. Because your religion is not going to get you into heaven. It's not going to shift the destination of your life. And I would ask each of us the same question. How are you going to escape hell? How are you going to do that? It's a question you should be able to answer right now. And if you're not, we'll get there. And I'm going to tell you how. And we're going to give you a chance to make a decision that will make all the difference in the world. But it is a question that you should definitely be asking. I hope by the end of this, you get that. Every sin leads in that direction. And every single one of us have sinned. Every single one of us have made a mistake. And the penalty for sin is a death separated from God in a place. And that place is called hell. Here's the deal. Jesus knew that you go to heaven based on what he did on the cross. He knew that. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Jesus died so you could spend eternity with him. You could have eternal life and enjoy him forever. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe it is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's a scary truth right there. You're condemned if you don't believe in Jesus. So you've got your life, you've got your death, you've got your destination. And these are steps, again, we've kind of distilled this down. The steps we're talking about are steps we're all going to go through, whether we're a believer or a non-believer. Every single person ever walking the face of the earth is going to go through all six of these steps. The thing is, to this point, we've had things in common, but now we start to deviate a little bit. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And I want to make this clear, and we're probably going to do this every week. I want to make this clear because we're talking a lot about works in this series. And you could misrepresent or misinterpret some of the things I'm saying to maybe misunderstand that works are what get you there. They're not. Jesus is the only way. We're not preaching Jesus plus anything. It's a binary decision. You go to heaven based on what Jesus did for you. You can't add to it at all. You can't take away from it. He did it for you. And if you receive it, you're going to be there. It's about placing your trust in him. So I just want to make that really, really clear. Step four is resurrection. You're actually going to receive a resurrected body. We know that Christians are going to receive that. We're going to be changed and transformed in the same way that Jesus was transformed and says he's the firstborn from among the dead. That's one of the titles that we hear Paul give Jesus. He's the firstborn from among the dead. Philippians 3:20-21 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So everything's under his feet, and that power, he's going to use it to make our bodies like his. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be amazing to have a new body. Anybody looking forward to having a new body? I wish I could put in a request right now, like DoorDash, you kind of can put it in and be like, Lord, can I have hair on the next body? Like, in the right spot, though. Like, I want hair here. Can I do that, please? That I would like to be, you know, just a few inches taller, maybe. I don't know. Be cool. I don't know. Maybe he's going to give us, like, cool thing. Maybe we could fly. I mean, I don't know if that's a request you could put in, like, in the subtext there. Like, can I fly, too? That would be awesome. I don't know. I'm digressing. But here's the thing. You will be resurrected. Your body will be resurrected. You're going to be given a new body. Here's the thing, though. This may be new information to some of you. Everyone within the sound of my voice will be resurrected, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. You may be saying, like, hold on, Jake, but even the bad guys get a second chance? That doesn't make sense. Not quite. They don't get a second chance. But let's see what the scripture says. Acts 24, 14 and 15. It says, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. There's going to be a resurrection of both. He says that. So all of us are going to be resurrected, but the purpose of the resurrection is different for believers than it is for unbelievers. John tells us more about what's going to take place in the next step of your eternal life. John 5, 28 and 29, he says, don't marvel at this, for an hour's coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, Jesus' voice, and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Resurrection. Everybody gets it. I don't know about you. I want to get the resurrection of life. Amen? Not the resurrection of judgment. So Jesus is saying you're going to have a body that's resurrected, but it's going to be destroyed in hell apart from the saving grace of God. How tragic is that? So step five. Let's get to step five now. Step five is repayment. You're actually going to receive your reward or your retribution for eternity based on what you did on earth. We're all going to be judged on how we lived our life here. Every single one of us is going to be judged for the decisions that we made, the actions, the thoughts, the postures of our heart. And there's some disagreement among theologians about how many judgments there are, so I want to be clear on that. Some say there's four, some say there's one. There's lots of different views, but there are two that are mentioned explicitly by name that we're going to talk about. One is the Great White Throne Judgment, and the other is what modern theologians call the Bema Seat. It just means the judgment seat. And I'm going to show you where each one of those are in Scripture because we're going to base a lot of this series around what happens at those. So Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, this is the Great White Throne Judgment. Then I saw a great white throne. Imagine that's why we call it that, right? And him who was seated on it, from his presence, earth and sky fled away. Like, how great is God? Just in his presence, earth and sky are like, gone. And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there's books about all the dead, and then there's this one book over here, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books. All the dead people, they've got stuff about their life written here according to what they'd done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So here's what you need to understand about this judgment. During this judgment, you're going to be evaluated on what you've done. And here's the deal. Everybody fails. Everybody fails this judgment. Imagine a test like that in school where the teacher gives it to you. He's like, look, so we're going to give you a test and none of you are going to pass. We're still going to give you the test though. And you're all going to fail. That's what this is. The reason is because all the sins you've committed as you've worked here on earth do require a payment. A judgment's going to be entered against you and against me, and the reckoning can only be overcome by one man. Only one man can pay it. And that's the man, Jesus Christ. He only has good works. Only ever had good works when he was here on earth. No bad works. Not a single bad work. And if you follow him, what happens is your name gets added to the second book, the book of life. And so everybody fails, and then there's this cross-reference before the consequence is pronounced. They check to see if your name is covered by Jesus. He goes through and he writes his name like, no, 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 hold on. Yeah, I know all this bad stuff they did, but here's the deal. Their name's also over here. Oh, okay. Isn't that, man, isn't that where you want your name? Yes? Do we want our name written in the book of life? I want my name there. So the judgment is about how you responded to the work of Jesus on the cross. For those who have not made Jesus Lord, retribution. For those with Jesus as Lord, reward. That rhymed on accident. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10, this is the Bema Seat judgment. It says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So it's after this judgment that you receive your eternal reward. This is for all the things you've done. And here's the thing. We started at the beginning. We said, God is looking to reward you. He's anticipating it. He wants to reward you. Anybody here, you guys ever want to reward your children? Parents, you guys want to do that? I want to do that. In fact, sometimes I give my children things to do just to give myself an excuse to bless them. I don't need the counter to be wiped. Hey, why don't you go wipe the counter? Why? Because I need it done. Wink. And they do it. Oh, hey, you know what? You did so good. Come here, I'm going to take you out, and we're going to go to Starbucks and get a coffee. Like, I find excuses to try to bless my children. And I think that God does the same thing. In fact, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says he has works that he planned. It says, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God planned on good things for us to do, for us to walk in, because he wants to reward us, y'all. That's a good God, such a good God. After this phase, this is phase 5, after the repayment, then comes eternity. That's a long phase. There's an arrow after that because it's just going to keep going. It doesn't stop. You're going to live forever in the presence or absence of God, reaping the consequences of your beliefs and your actions on earth. Matthew 25, 46 says this, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's a forever punishment or a forever life. The 6 stages of your eternal life, get that. You're going to live forever. Forever. You're going to live forever. Eternal punishment, eternal life. And here's the thing. It's not a 70-year average lifespan. Let's give you 85 years. Let's say you have 85 years. This eternity, whether in punishment or reward, is the most important part of your life. All your actions on earth, they're being recorded in those books we talked about. And it's accumulating to an account. Like when you do your credit card, you're like, I don't have to pay it now. I know I'll pay it later. Chink, chink. Just tap it. And it accumulates, doesn't it? And there is a repayment that happens, isn't there? Some of you know you've gotten in a little bit of trouble with that. And see, this is a spot where a lot of people in modern society miss it. They think that if they're just a good person, then they're accumulating rewards. It's not true. It's just not. It doesn't matter how good you are. You're not accumulating rewards. It's a binary decision point. Whether you get rewards or whether you get retribution is a one or the other. And whether you get those has nothing to do with whether you were a good person or not. Before you accept Jesus, you have no claim on rewards. It's like all this stuff over here. It's great stuff for you. And you know what? You get none of it because your name's not written in this book over here. The only books that have your name in them are the books of all the things that you've done, whether good or bad. Unless your name's over here, you go to eternal punishment. It's the judgment that you're going to face for rejecting Jesus. Conversely, this is so amazing. After you accept Christ, the negative balance on your account gets wiped clean. It's all gone. All of it's gone. No more payments. You're left not only just with the joy of heaven, but the prospect of finally being able to accumulate rewards. Before you accept Jesus, you can't accumulate anything. After you accept Jesus, man, you can live your life towards him fully, knowing that he's going to reward you. He's so eager to give you those rewards. So again, I'm going to go back to this point. You go to heaven based on what Jesus did on the cross, but your reward in heaven is based on what you do in this life with what he gave you. So if we were to look back at that timeline again, you really only have two phases of life, because we don't know when the resurrection, retribution, we don't know when all that stuff happens necessarily. Anybody that tells you they know exactly when it's going to happen, I would just be cautious, okay? Nobody knows that. Jesus doesn't even know the day, the hour that he's coming back. So what we know, though, is that we all have a life and death, and we all have this eternity. So we know that those things are going to happen. And like I said, maybe you got 85 years. Maybe there's like 85 years that you've got during that red space, and eternity is everything else. So after a while, in eternity, life and death here is going to be less and less of a proportion of your eternal life. It's going to get smaller. In fact, after you've lived for several hundred years in eternity, it's almost going to seem like your childhood compared to the preponderance of your life, your eternal life. And then after you've lived a couple thousand years, that lifespan's going to get even smaller. You've experienced God. You've been in the heavenly courts. And who knows what else you've experienced. It's been such a long life that you've lived with God. It's a little bit like when you zoom out on a Google map. You got that point of focus, and then it zooms out, and you see the neighborhood, and then you see the city, and then you see the state, and then you see the nation, and then you see the world. And if you were to keep going, the entire universe would just be this little teeny tiny dot. Your life here on earth, the more you zoom out, is so distant, it's hard to even see on a timeline like this. And by the time you've lived 100 lifetimes with your Lord, your life is so far in the distance that it pales in comparison to the experiences you've had since then. And I don't know how memory is gonna work, but if it worked the same as it does now, I don't even know if we'd be able to recall some of those core memories. See, now you probably can't see it now, but your life is still up there. It's teeny tiny. And it's just gonna get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller in proportion to your eternal life that you live with God. All there is eventually is eternity. Your life is still there, it still happened, but numbers don't even exist to illustrate how long ago it was. Like, we can't even come up with a number for how long ago it's gonna be at some point in eternity. That dot represents your life. It's just a blink of an eye. But everything on the line is determined by what happens in the dot. Eternal rewards or eternal retribution. It is a binary decision. It's one or the other. But the forever is determined by the now. And I'm gonna tell you, we're passionate about Jesus. If you're visiting today, you probably get that. I'm a passionate guy. Because it matters, y'all. It matters. First off, he's worthy of our passion. But also, it matters for people. I don't want anybody to live on the line apart from Jesus. Man, I want you to enjoy him forever because he is so good. He is so good. How would our lives change if the most important part of your life, I talked about that at the beginning, what you think about life changes during each phase. How would your life change if what was most important was what was on the line and not the dot? We started looking at Matthew 27, and Jesus is returning to reward you, but I'm gonna talk through that. I'm sorry, Matthew 16. I'm gonna talk through that, and I wanna put it in context, okay? So verse 24, Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, if you wanna follow me in eternity in that line, you gotta deny yourself. That's the first step. You have to deny yourself. Looking out for number one seems like what we're supposed to do. It's the key to maximizing this life. It is the opposite to getting eternal rewards. That's not how the heavenly economy works. Deny yourself, take up your cross. That's where you recognize that God is in control, not me. I'm going to put his yoke like Pastor Ben talked about last week. Such a good message. I'm going to take his yoke on me and let him be in charge of my life, not me. And follow me. I'm going to be obedient, okay? I'm going to take up his cross and I'm going to follow him. For whosoever would save his life, that eternal life, will lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you give up the dot for Jesus' sake, you're going to find the line. But if you try to save the dot, you're going to lose the line. Which one do you want? I know which one I want. The line. I mean, it just seems simple when you point it out like that. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in return for his soul? There's literally no trade you can make at this point. After your death, it's over. You don't have any other options. There's no more chances to make a choice, make a change. It's done. What can you trade? What can you give God to say, okay, hold on, I know I got all this bad stuff over here. What can I do to, I mean, he gave you something for his name to be over here. What can I give you? And God's like, you had to do it there. You had to do it when you were there. Can't do it now. It's too late. All the accounts are being settled right now. Verse 27, so the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Micah, you can come on up. This is what matters. How much would your lives change if you live like that was the top priority? It's like our parents, I know I talked a lot about parents, but you try to talk to your kids and get them to understand the perspective of a relationship not going the way that they want, or not being able to do a sleepover, or not being able to get something that they want at the store. Like, man, this really doesn't matter. You're trying to get them to see the bigger picture. Just help them see the long game. Can you just look at it for a minute? I feel like I spend so much of my time doing that. At home and here as well. It's just, I want you to see the long game, because the long game is what counts. This life is so short comparatively, and good and bad decisions have dramatic impacts on the much longer span of your eternal life. And so during this series, we're going to close up now. I want you to start asking yourselves, what do I need to change? What is it in me that needs to change to prioritize the line over the dot? And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Ask the Lord, be like, God, what is it in my life? I want to maximize my eternal reward. In fact, even in the bumper, it bugs me looking at the bumper, that picture we've got, because the line doesn't go all the way. Man, I want it to bottom out. I want it to go all the way. I want my reward to be full. I don't want my reward to just be partial. And I want that for all of you too. So ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to change? Because I guarantee that there's things that he wants you to change for all of us, me included, all of us. There are things that we could do to follow him more closely. And I want you to take a look at how God ends both the Old Testament and the New Testament as we close today. Because I'm telling you, he's planning to reward you. That's what he's thinking about. Malachi, last book of the Old Covenant, chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance, book again, was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. God says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I take up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more, you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. There's a distinction. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus says this. He says, behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. He will give it to you. He will give to each of us according to what we've done. So we know what God's thinking. That's just a matter for us to decide. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk more about what God plans to reward, how he plans to reward us. All these questions, we're gonna dig into them. So I hope you join us for the rest of the series. I'm going to pray for us now. And I told you I was going to give you a chance to make a decision today, so I'm going to do that. But some of you are thinking right now, you guys can go ahead and come up. Some of you are thinking right now, like, I want to live on the line. I don't want to live for the dot. And I want to give you a chance to make a decision that will make all the difference on the line. So let's bow our heads. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you forecast what it is you're doing in the earth. You forecast what it is you're doing in eternity. You tell us, it's not a big secret, God. You told us about it so that we could be prepared, because you're preparing for it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would right now, God, every person in the sound of my voice, would you give them a heavenly, eternal perspective on what that looks like, God? Give them your eyes to see, Lord, that it, in Ecclesiastes, it says you set eternity in our hearts, Lord. Would you just illuminate that, God, that part of all of our hearts. Help us to think towards eternity, God. If there's anybody here who doesn't know where eternity is going to be, you don't know where you're going to be living in eternity. If you're going to be receiving retribution or if you're going to be receiving reward. Really, to get your name written in the book of life, you know what it takes? It takes you placing your faith in Jesus. It says if you repent and turn from your sins, so you got to turn away from a life. You got to let him have control. You repent and turn away. You confess him with your mouth as Lord, that he's faithful and just to forgive you from all your sins. He's gonna write over every single one of those bad deeds. If you've never done that and you just want to confess him as Lord today, it's really simple. I just want you to put your hand up and we're going to pray a prayer. All of us are going to pray at the end. If that's you, I know there's got to be somebody here in a room this big. If that's you, just slip your hand up. It's going to make all the difference in the world. Anybody? All right, well, we're going to pray this prayer together anyway. Lord, God, we love you. And we praise you for who you are and for what you do in us and through us, Lord. And I pray that anybody here who needs to make a decision right now, they would just say this: Lord, I give you my life. I turn away from a life of sin and I just turn my life over to you. And I just proclaim that you're gonna be the Lord of my life and I will serve you all of my days. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you. You don't have to do that, but you choose to do it. And Lord, I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Manna Church Stafford podcast. If you would like to connect with us, you can find us on the web at mannastafford.church or download the Manna Church app. To listen to our new episodes as they become available, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. We would also love to meet you in person. If you are local, our services take place each Sunday at 10 a.m. We pray you have a blessed week, and we will see you next time.